Last week we talked about the story money tells. So you have the notes there. And, one of the assignments, we had some assignments, but maybe the most important one simply is, do you have any God stories from this week? God do anything in your world around finances and your awareness of, maybe even just your awareness of finances? Ready, set, go. Anybody start the 30-day list of expenses? Any surprises? Excellent, excellent. No surprises?
I had a rough time. Like, with the way that it's set up, I didn't like all the things that it has.
Figuring out where to put stuff? Your stuff on the other side, too. Do you see the other side? That is probably would have helped. That would do it. You know, another thing you do is just get a notebook and write it out, and you put it in this list later. The reason that this paper, I gave it to you, is so that sometimes people don't want to make a list and then have to rewrite it somewhere else. So this gave you a place to write it once. I did not go over to you and show you the other side. I'm sorry, Karen. Yeah, but hopefully, you're still capturing stuff. Hey, did anybody talk about someone else around their finances? Like, especially those of you that are here, but your spouse isn't here. Did you sit down and chat about a little bit about what we talked about? And like the homework was on the back. See, where'd it go? Just some questions. What was the question? Hold on. Find page 2. Right back here. Application questions. Anybody do any of that? Anything interesting come out of that time? Up here. It's okay if it's not. I want to encourage you to do something during your week, okay? Keeping track 30 days, that's an awesome start. Yeah? Wow. Excellent. God cares about our businesses. There's a book. I like it a lot. I don't see it over there. Business by the Book. You guys read it? Wayne Grudem. Real simple book, but he just talks about how different aspects of business bring glory to God. Borrowing and lending is a chapter I've been through a number of times. But just lots of different aspects. God created us all to make Him look good. And we do that in all facets of our lives, including business. Okay. I want you to open your Bible. Hopefully everybody's got a Bible. I'm just going to hand out some scriptures. So last week we talked about the story money tells. And this week we're going to talk about our financial responsibilities, kind of at a high level. All right. So I'm going to give, who has got a Bible? Psalm 24, verse 1. These should be listed on your, actually, you get Psalm 24, verse 1. It's right there. You're in good shape. First Chronicles 29:11-12. Charlie, Leviticus 25:23. Okay, I forgot you guys' name. Yeah, we should just go around with names. Probably help me too. I'm Chris.
I'm Mark.
Mark. I won't remember everybody here. All right. Susan, can you do Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12? Anybody? This is the Bible. Okay, and I'll do the last couple. Okay, so I want you to listen to these scriptures and... It's going to be too hard. And what does this tell us about God? Okay? It's always a great question to ask when you're reading Scripture. All right, Alicia. Psalm 24, verse 1. You ready? It's right there.
The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all people that are.
Go ahead. Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. So what do those scriptures tell us about God? Everything's his. So that's easy to say. So is there anything in particular that those scriptures share that's his? Our money, our life, our possessions, the land. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I mean, this is endless. It is an endless list, and saying all is the only way to describe it. All right. I think this is something that it's easy for us to have up here, but it's not so easy for us to get it down here because it really makes a difference when we get it to travel down here. Is something that's hard to learn. You know, as believers, actually we can say God owns us because he created us, but he's actually owns us twice, because he made us and then he bought us back at the cost of his son. So 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 19, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. So our challenge is to get this kind of truth in. So one of my favorite stories in this whole five classes is a story Howard Dayton tells about... Okay, we need to... Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's a story Howard Dayton tells about a guy who's trying to get this principle, okay? And he actually buys a car. He has a car. It's a new car. I don't know if it's a brand new car, but... For him, it's a brand new car, okay? Within a few days, he gets hit, right? He gets hit in the side. He gets out of his car, okay? I don't know if you ever had a new car, but I don't like anybody leaning on a new car, you know? But he gets his new car hit, and he gets out of the car, and he looks at the side of his car, okay, smashed. God, I don't know why you want a dent in your car, but you certainly have a big one. That was his response. Okay? Now, that's pretty good. That helped him. That helped him. What would you or I have done? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to admit what I might have done. Okay, but that's what he did. That took a lot of freedom. When we talk about freedom in our finances, that's really what we're talking. It's not the freedom to do anything, to buy anything we want. That's not really what financial freedom is. Financial freedom involves a contentment with our circumstances. That's fundamentally where we see freedom. That guy was free to respond in a reasonable. I mean, when's the last time? Okay, I'm just thinking about stupid things like I saw the last cookie in the cookie jar and it's not there anymore. And what's my response? Okay, that's not a dent in my car, but it can elicit a ungodly response. And so even in small ways, okay, into small things. Right? Was that God's cookie or was it my cookie? And it makes a difference how I'm going to think about that cookie. All right, so here's the thing about our job in life when it comes to finances. We are called to be stewards. So I think there's a definition. Is there a definition there of steward in your notes? Somebody want to read it? Paul.
Steward is someone entrusted with another's wealth or property in charge of the responsibility of managing it.
Okay. Guys ever borrowed anything? Come on, everybody's borrowed something. Anybody have a good borrowing story? Now, what if it had been yours? Would you have felt different? Yeah, it's a little different when it's something that's borrowed. Yeah. Well, there's reputation. There's just damage to that person. I mean, you lose. Yeah, there's something at risk in our if it's somebody else's stuff. Right? We treat borrowed stuff differently. You know, I'll share this. We have some friends that have a house at the lake. And over, these are longtime friends, and over probably the last 10 years, every summer on many Sunday afternoons, they give us the opportunity to come down and just play. And they set up a volleyball net, and old guys like me pretend like we're young and play volleyball and then go jump in the lake and have cookouts. And a couple, at least two or three times a year, we go down there. But every time I think, why do I... This is not a family that's in my life in general anymore, okay? Because we went to church, did church together for a bunch of years. That's how we know all these families. And but they still invite us. We still have the opportunity to go and enjoy all the stuff that we don't own. And there's just... So what happens? Every time I go, I'm like trying to leave it in better shape than when I get there and take good care of it. I'm always thankful. I'm always amazed. How is it that we get to enjoy such a great privilege? It's borrowed stuff. But what if we live that way? What if we got up in the morning and you got up in a bed that somebody else owned? And you went and took a shower in a bathroom that somebody else owned. You went down and made your breakfast in a kitchen somebody else owned with food that somebody else owned. And would it be different? You know, what happens when you're staying in a guest house? It would be a little different. You're just grateful. Just think about being grateful. That one thing, if we got to do what we did because somebody, if somebody else gave us the privileges, just thankfulness by itself would change our lives. Okay? But God, the truth is God owns everything. You know, in our going through the Gospel of John, we're preaching through it, and recently I read through a bunch of it. I read through the Gospel just in my Bible reading again, and I bump into this verse by, I don't remember where it is, but John the Baptist says, a man does not have even one thing unless it's given to him by God. So, for someone to have that perspective, then every one thing I have is amazing. And if I don't have something, well, okay, I don't have it. Look at all the stuff I have. It changes everything when we move from being owners to being borrowers, being stewards. And not only are we borrowing something, we're entrusted with something. God's entrusted with real, amazing stuff to take care of for His benefit. So, I got a Randy Alcorn quote. But here, 1 Corinthians 4:2. This is important scripture. What does God expect of a steward? Okay, He expects this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay. Now, in ESV, it says trustworthy. What God's looking for in regards to finances, our job is faithfulness. He wants someone who is trustworthy and reliable. Webster defines faithful as firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. That's probably Webster of 1827 or whatever. Faithfulness is reliably doing what we're told. That's what it is. Now, I want you to be encouraged by this, because this encourages me. It went somewhere in that direction. Thanks. You know, we could really moan about how much money we have or do not have in the bank, okay, because of past failures and poor decisions we've made. But God doesn't measure us on what we have. He measures us on kind of the product at the end. He measures us on the process. He calls us to faithfulness. And now you and I today can make a choice to be faithful. Today we can please God. We don't have to have any kind of good history. Today we can honor God by faithfully making a choice that reflects His ownership and stewardship of His stuff. Okay? He's merciful. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He's faithful, and He calls us to be faithful, and you and I can do that today. No matter what our history, today we can please God. Okay, there's one kind of, obviously many scriptures about money, but there's one particular about stewardship that we're going to read, and this is Matthew 25. So if you have a Bible, open to Matthew 25. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. And read four verses, starting, Kara, can you start in verse 14?
For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents.
You're on, Charlie.
So he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Susan. Is that right? You read through 26 to the end. Mm-hmm.
But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have scattered my seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received full of my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be more given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Think afterwards, thy servant, and throughout hours of darkness. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth."
All right, what do we learn from this scripture? I'll give you a chance. I got 7 things. See if you can get any of them. You'll probably get something I didn't have. What does the scripture teach us about God and us? There you go. That's kind of the summary statement. Very good. Anybody else? We'll all be held accountable. And it's great to be on the right side. We can be sure of. Very good. Anything else interesting in this scripture to you? That's great. I like it. That is true. Master was pleased by those made in life. Was he pleased by the money? He was just as pleased with the 5 talents as the 2 talents. Yeah? And he indicated that he would have been satisfied by just having the 1 talent in the bank and earn some interest. It wasn't about the amount of money. Well, let me just say this. First of all, everyone's a steward. Everybody in this story is a steward. There's God and there's the stewards. Basically, that's who's in here. And that's so you and I, we're stewards. And the master trusts his stewards. He's given them big chunks of bucks here. He trusts them. And he trusts you and I with what he's given us. He trusts you. It's not too much. He distributes differently. He does it on purpose. Gave 5 to 1, 2 to 1, 1 to 1/3. He did it. He did it in his wisdom. We all get distributed gifts differently. We get distributed capacities to make income. There's all kinds of gifts. We have talents. They're not all associated with money. Let's just think about spiritual gifts. Some people are compassion. Some are administration. I mean, just all the different things. He does it. in his wisdom. Now, here's a powerful thing. If you look in verse, he says it twice, in verse 21 and verse 23, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. So a talent in Jesus' day was about 20 years' wages for a working man. One talent. So if we just try to get a grip on that, and we might relate that to about $500,000 today. Just if I made $25,000 a year, that'd be $500,000 in 20 years. Okay. So the guy that's got five talents, he got maybe $2 to $3 million to manage. Yet God calls that amount of money of little, a little thing. He calls it a little. You've been faithful in little. I will give you, I will set you over much. He sets him, actually sets him over people, over cities. Yeah. So, you know what? No amount of money is really a big deal to God. Remember, he owns it all. So money and possessions aren't a big thing. What's big about money and possessions is they give us the opportunity to prove our faithfulness. Money and possessions are an opportunity to prove faithfulness. On Judgment Day, the value of your money, for example, you can substitute anything God's given to us in this equation. The people God entrusted to you, the talents God entrusted to you. On Judgment Day, your money, the value of money, will be the faithfulness it allowed you to demonstrate. That's what it'll be worth. The degree that we demonstrate faithfulness is the degree of our reward in heaven. Hudson Taylor said this: small things are, this is one of my favorite quotes in there, from, small things are small things, but faithfulness with small things is a big thing. It's a big thing. Yeah. But he was so paralyzed. I don't know. That's a good question. But do you ever find yourself not trying? Well, why is that? I think that's right. That was my story last week. A lot of things I haven't done with my retirement investment kind of thing, struggles I've had was rooted in fear. I was afraid of doing the wrong thing. And so I ended up not doing anything. I was just like that guy in that particular area. But I think that it is moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So I think if the guy squandered it in foolish things, then he would have been judged significantly. But I think if the guy had been faithful to apply wisdom and still the market took a dive or whatever it was, I don't see in Scripture getting penalized. You know, the gospel sets us free from penalty. If you think, there are consequences that happen. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That's a truth. But it goes on to say, if we sow to the Spirit, we're blessed. If we sow to the flesh, that's the definition of what sowing is. If we sow to the Spirit with that money and we lose it, well, it's God's money. Was I laboring to honor God? Did I act in faith? Then I think God's pleased. So you have to think, I always think about my kids. If my kids wasted the money, but they did it throwing themselves at something really well, that was worth all the money. That's how I think about it. And if they wasted it, then that's a big loss. The master judges stewards righteously, as God does all of us, according to all we have and only what we have. These guys got measured according to all that God gave them and only. Didn't have anything to do with what he gave anybody else. So his judgment is right. And so we already noted the way God rewarded him. Well, you know what? Only God's judgment counts in this story. It doesn't really matter what anybody else, if there were observers. It doesn't even matter what the other stewards thought. It's only what God thinks that matters. And then, this has also been noted, God is generous. He doesn't have to reward his stewards. They just did their job. But he does. He's a prodigal father. I like that. All right. So what happens when we have a... So let me ask you a question. What happens? What do you think it looks like when we're getting the idea that all that we have, our house, our bank account, our job, if those are just financial-ish things, our talents to earn. What does it look like practically? Examples. What does it look like when we're thinking, well, this is God's house, and God's job, and God's talent, and God's food in the fridge, and God's, whatever. What does it look like? Ready, set, go. Ten things. I'm not saying a word until I get 10 things. Why is it scary? So you feel the weight of God's expectation. All right. That could be true.
With that, you feel accountable for, this isn't really mine. I live here. I buy the groceries, physically go out and get it, but God gave me the money, so I'm not spending it wisely. Soda versus water, milk, or whatever. Where did this fit in? Should I be blowing it on things that I like?
Wow, that's great. You're asking questions about how you're spending your money. And maybe even a very particular thing. Should I buy this soda or this juice? Whatever it is. Very good. Okay. It's God's. We've got to ask those questions. Why?
Because if it's not mine, I should be hoarding it.
Ah. So there's a willingness to share. I'll make that 2 things so that we get to 10. Because I'm not saying anything. All right, that's good. Ooh, thankfulness, great. Excellent. Save more. And why do you say that? So just.
It's the mental accountability.
The so willing. You're careful. You're a little more careful.
One would be, especially being a homeowner, and I'm not sure what word you would put to it, would be if you're looking at it that it's God's house and God's property, just keeping that, the preventive maintenance, keeping maintenance of it, keeping it.
And you're going to take care of what you've spent the money on. Man, very good. I like it. That's 7. Got 3 to go. When we can look back and say, God's done all of these things and brought us all up to this place, then that gives us faith to look forward and say, you know, I don't know what's that. That's all. It doesn't look great to me, but God is faithful. This is our story. This is our song. The theme of the, what's it? Okay, that's a different hymn, but that's right. There you go. Same thing. Right. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. That's a favorite song of mine.
For me, it's really hard to accept help from other people. I'm a lot more willing to do it. So knowing that it's all God anyway, I think it would help me to...
No, that's a humility statement. You know, it takes humility for me to say, I didn't create this. If it's good, you know, this house, this chunk of money in the bank, it was God. That takes humility. That's great. Just like in this story that we just read, that God, the stewards that God was pleased with, he actually lavishly rewarded them. So he had faith on little things he gave them. But even though he didn't have to do that. But that's God does that in our lives. Maybe not always in the same way. You know what Jesus said? Everyone that leaves house and family and mother and father... in this life and in the next, he will multiply that 30, 50, 100-fold. Maybe not with money, but he does. Wow, that's 11 things by my count. You guys are over the top. Excellent. Well, Larry Burkett said this. I assume this is in your notes too. When we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. No longer do we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? The question is restated, Lord, what do you want me to do with your money? And I you know, a a defining characteristic of whether we get the God, what the ownership stewardship truth is. Do I ask God what to do with His money? You know, are my possessions available to Him? And so you guys shared a lot of things about things we could connect all the different things you shared to Scripture. Loving God and loving our neighbor, you know, one flavor or another. Well, John Wesley, I left four questions from John Wesley around finances. You know, one thing I want to say, though, is it can really quickly get to become kind of a big, heavy thing. Oh, man, I got to do the right thing with this money. We can freak out over it, okay? But to see the truth, this is where the gospel, this is another place the gospel comes to our rescue. Because the gospel, right from the beginning, we say we're sinners. We're gonna make really stupid, foolish decisions we have in the past, and we're going to make some more in the future. But God's already paid the penalty for all those foolish things. Past. Whatever your financial past is, you know, for example. And he accepts us. We can't mess up our relationship. We can't make such a dumb mistake that we train wreck our relationship with God. Okay? He is faithful. Now, and so... I think that decisions get heavy when we're thinking that we got to do it. But you know what? If God gives us all of our resources, talents, opportunities, if He gives us all those things, in fact, He gives us something greater. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also give us all things according to His glorious riches? That might be a merge of two scriptures. You could look it up. Romans 8:32, I think. We want to look to Him when we're making decisions about finances. Yeah, because we don't actually have the capacity to make a good decision either. So Jude 1, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time and now and forever. Amen. All right. Any questions, comments? Comments are good. Last week, I shared with you Destination 1, the money map. All right. And actually, I found, we've ordered some of these, but I found four of them from a couple years ago, of these little maps. Right, Destination 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So by the end of the 5 weeks, we'll at least have touched at the end of each meeting each of these destinations. So it's an example path to travel in terms of being a steward over what God's given us. And so last week, here, put that down there. Last week, we talked about Destination 1, which is... really, it's to start a spending plan. It should be right in here. Create a spending plan and also develop an emergency fund, $1,000 emergency fund. That's kind of a great first goal. If you don't have some kind of plan for how you're using your income, then that's part of goal number one, all right? And now, if we have goal number one, $1,000 in the bank, and we have some kind of plan for our research. Remember, we said last week, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be real simple. I still think in terms of my little kids. I gave them an allowance, and they had a spending, they had a savings, and they had a giving. Okay? And it was that and that easy. And so our plan needs to be only as complicated as we need it to be faithful. So if I'm having trouble in a certain area, I probably will put some boundaries around that. And the simplest way to do that is to allocate a certain amount of money to it and put it in an envelope, and that guides how much I spend on that thing. But anyways, we talked a little about that last week. And then the second goal with destination would be pay off credit cards. That's really, there's a name for that. And also to grow our emergency fund to 1 month's living expenses. So that's not 1 month's income. That's 1 month of what it costs to live. You lost your job. How much money do I need to get to the end of 1 month? And so that's goal number two. Now, does that seem simple? I think I gave you some forms. This time, let's see what's on here. Oh, there's only one. She didn't print the other one. Okay. In here is a list of debts form. All right. You don't have to use this form. You can use any form you want. But it's a good idea, if you have any debt, to make a list of it. So you can kind of see. You can't start paying things off until you have it in front of you. And then usually, a great strategy for paying off debt is to look at the find the smallest one and pay that one off first. And that's called the snowball principle. You know, you're having to pay something on every debt, usually, every month. And so if you can take any extra money that we have, the reason we have a spending plan in the first goal is because the purpose of a spending plan is to create some extra money. A surplus, we call it. Okay, if we don't have a surplus, then we're have a really hard time getting rid of any debt that we have. So we craft a spending plan so that we can have some understanding, control of where the money's going, so that there should be some money left. And then the spending plan also says what to do with that money. Now the spending plan might say, well, some percentage of it, I want to play. You know, you can create your own rules. God He lets us make the rules. And remember, I quote a lot, 1 Timothy chapter 6, God gives us all things for our enjoyment. Right? So that might be. But a big chunk of that might be debt. You might choose to give some of it away. There's a lot of things you can do with it. Okay? And but once we have that, then when money comes in that's extra, then some piece of it we apply towards our smallest debt. And once that's paid off, now whatever money was going into that debt every month, we can take that and apply it to the next debt. So we've actually created within our budget without a surplus, we've created a way to accelerate payment on debt number two. And that's a snowball. So as we pay that one off, we move it to the third one. We slowly work our way through our so that is a strategy called the snowball effect. There's other things people might do. They might take on their highest interest rate debt, but that can be depressing if that's a really big thing. It's a little challenge. So it's always very encouraging to pay off something. So if you can pay it off, that's generally people are more successful if they start knocking them off. That's not a scripture behind that, just a lot of people say it's that way because they've been experienced it. So, all right. So, I have four of these maps, and if you're interested in one, you can take one home tonight. And if you want, if you would like, if you can wait. then you can take one home, and hopefully we'll have them next week. I don't know if that's true or not. And so that everybody gets one. At least every family gets one. I had two. I'm going to try to show you resources each week. These are both in our bookstore. This is Dave Ramsey, The Money, Total Money Makeover. We actually listened to this as a church. I don't think it was 4 years ago. So I don't know what this costs, $15. If you have, you can hear this guy on the radio. He's really practical. He's easy to listen to. He gets right in your face and makes it sound easy. So one thing I like about Dave Ripley, everybody can relate to him. Sometimes some teachers should kind of maybe more educated people can relate to, or less educated. This guy, everybody can relate to this guy. He is just enjoyable. Okay? And then he also wrote this book. It's called The Money Answer Book, and I have a copy of this home. We've got it about halfway through it. It's just a different way to organize the same stuff. In fact, most of these books all have the same stuff in them. But this one is in order of a bunch of questions you might have, and then just a simple page on a question. So it's easy to read one of these in a couple minutes, like right before you go to bed. If you're in, you know, flip to one that looks interesting, you can read it. That's another way to get some ideas, thoughts around money. All right, anything else? That's all I had. What's that? Yeah, there are some other application questions in there. We did kind of answer questions 1 and 2. What does it look like when I act as an... Well, we answered question 2. What does it look like when I act as a steward? We didn't really talk about what act as an owner, but I want to encourage you to have at least one conversation between now and next Wednesday with somebody else. If you're not here with your spouse, you should have it with your spouse. And you could talk through, you could pick a couple of these application questions. Certainly, it's my goal, the drum I want to beat, that you are doing something different at the end of this class than you are doing at the beginning. So the money map crafts some ideas around that. If you are determined to never have a spending plan, that's okay. Then move on. And before God, that's fine. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to have a budget. But what does it say in the Bible? Have to be wise. What is required of a steward? He be found faithful. So we want to build something, some choices, maybe just making choices about something. Maybe there's some decisions about, I shared last week about retirement, and I finally realized I'm afraid and it ain't going to get any better. It's unlikely it's going to get any better. I took a chunk of money and I gave it to somebody else to manage. And I just think that pleased God. I think it pleases God a lot more than whatever I was doing or really not doing. And it freed me up to go work on other things. I have to moan about what a lousy job I was doing. So, you know, that's an example. It doesn't have to be complicated. Or rather, it doesn't have to look like I'm a hero. Just move forward. Just a step forward. So think about that. So talk, you know, as a family or kids have great insight on how you spend money as a family. That's a great thing to have a conversation about. Do I use credit cards? I do, and I do. I have liked them because it makes it really easy for me to figure out where the money goes.
So you take your credit card and then you
Now, I used to do it on paper. When I started in the late 80s, I did it on paper. And that's painful. But it was wonderful at the time. There wasn't any other way to do it. Now, I can just download all that stuff into a piece of software. So I don't have to write any of that down. Mm-hmm. And with some history, it'll try to categorize itself. Now I go in, and I would verify each one. Did we really spend it on that or not? And then it gives me the chance to balance it. All right. So now I'll be really straight. My budgeting system doesn't help me make good choices. It helps me know what choices I made. But you have to keep up with it to allow it to help you make good choices. And in other words, help to inform your future, your spending. So, for example, in an envelope system, is there any money in this envelope? That's helping you make a choice right then. So if the budget system can do the same thing, then that's the best system. But my proposal is that you only need to do that in the areas where you know you have a lot of risk. So, you know, do I have a soft spot for eating out? Then, and that's an area where God's brought conviction in my life. You know what, God, I'm consuming money that I could honor you with in a different way. Well, then that's a good way. That's a good place to create a mechanism to give feedback. So in that case, I might actually take a certain amount of money out of the bank at the beginning of the month and put it in an envelope. And we've done that over time, periodically, in areas that we just kind of wanted to learn about our patterns and why we're doing things. Then you don't have to have any accountability anymore. If it's food, and you're buying food, you just pay for it. I guess you can put the receipt in there so you know a little bit about what happened. But you don't have to write anything down. You don't have nothing. What you write down is, in my ledger, I took $200 out of the bank, or for food, it would be a lot more than that, for our family, and it went towards food. And it's essentially spent when I put it in the envelope. Now, it gets a little tricky now when I decide I need money for something else and I want to take it out of that envelope. Well, you know, that's between me and God. I got to work that out. But that was my method. And I needed help in that one area. Then that's a good way to do it. And then, so I just think that spending plans, and I'm working through this in my own life because it's too much of a burden. It's been a burden for me. And so that's why I tend to be reactive. At the end of the month, I download what happened and figure it out and think, wow, that was a lot of money. And we might, you know, we might make some decisions about what we're going to do in the next month. But it's a little bit loose. In fact, it's pretty good if I get that all straightened out at the end of every month. That doesn't really happen. But it would happen. It had happened earlier in my life when the amount of money was much closer to the amount spent. All right, so now I have different. I want to rein that in because out of a conviction to take some surplus and do something really that I'm excited about doing, giving it away and funding something fabulous. You know, that I wouldn't do. I would just get frittered away if I didn't. That's exciting me, you know, right now. So anyway, spending plans just have to be only enough to help you out. So there's online services. Mint.com is a free online, really simple budgeting mechanism. There are others. Mint is very popular, and you can connect it to banks. Now, it doesn't connect to my credit union. It's really frustrating. So I'm not sure if it's a credit union problem it has. So I was trying to get my son to use it, and then we eventually gave up on it. But there are other ones. The people that make Quicken might have an online one that's free. We talked last week about envelopes. That envelopes. That is an envelope-based electronic system. And it costs money. It's not a non-trivial amount of money. But people that use it, my experience with people that use it and use it faithfully, they really love it. And the advantage of an online thing is if you're an online family, let's say you got people with smartphones, well, now you have access to your envelope anywhere you are. You don't have to worry about it. For me, to get access to where my mock envelopes that I've created the hard way in Microsoft Money, which you can't buy anymore, is I got to be on the computer in my schoolroom. So that's a nice thing about the if I'm working on one area and I want to if I have the envelope system I put it in, well, I carry it around with me. So that's a mobile method too. So, but I like your questions. They're good questions. The very first freeing thing about recording things for me was just knowing where it was going. That was the first thing. That's not a very God-honoring thing. That's probably a God, me playing God and thinking, oh, now I know where it's all going. I have knowledge. But it was, I appreciated it. It was helpful. Knowledge is important. What's the most important knowledge that we can have? Yeah, so for the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God. So that's why this ownership thing, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So really our knowledge of God. I mean, that's maybe that's a no-brainer. But that's all this ownership thing is. It's almost another way to say a fear of the Lord. Just an awareness of the greatness of God relative to who we are. Okay, we're supposed to be done. Thank you.